chapter 5. Value your community. John chapter 4, verse 4. When was the last time you did something in your community with the expectation of receiving nothing in return? Now, don't misunderstand me. We all want people in our community to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But when we head into our neighborhood, we need to earn the right to be heard. People need to know that we care about them, even if they never attend our church. In John chapter 4, we are told of the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In verse 3, we find Jesus leaving Judea to go to Galilee. The most direct route was through Samaria, and yet, most Jews would go around it. There was some history there. In my opinion, Jesus didn't go through Samaria because it was the most direct route. I believe he went through Samaria because he was headed to a certain well to talk to a certain woman. The outcome of an encounter at a well that day changed not only that woman, but an entire village. God desires for our church and class to be about more than just us. Our faith is about so much more than attending a worship service and Sunday school class or small group and whatever else our church schedules every week. God wants us to make a difference in our community, our state, our country, and our world. Southern Baptists are known for our disaster relief ministry. After Hurricane Katrina, communities in South Louisiana and Mississippi came to understand that in a personal way. Thousands of men, women, boys, and girls from all over the country poured into these areas to help restore, repair, and rebuild. Behind them were hundreds of thousands of people who gave and prayed for those impacted by Katrina. It happened again in the aftermath of Hurricanes Gustav and Rita. All the while, they asked for nothing in return. Every day in our communities, there are people who experience personal disasters. Divorce, loss of a loved one, job loss, victims of crime, and so much more happen to people on a daily basis all around us. Most of them are not regularly attending a local church. Many have no family around to comfort them through the crisis either. Unknowingly, we show up at their door inviting them to a special event at our church. Yet what they need at that moment is someone to stop and just listen. At a recent associational event, Dr. Chuck Kelly, president of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, stated that we are a harvest-oriented organization in an unseated generation. We are so focused on getting bodies in our buildings and money in our budgets that we look right past the person and their need. It should be the other way around. The community around us is looking for a Savior. I pray that our churches would be more known for what we do during the week than what we do on Sunday morning. How is your Sunday school class making a difference in your community? What projects are you planning to impact someone's life? Who are you partnering with to help someone who is less fortunate than you? How can your class impact a family in your community that is going through a difficult time right now? Who can you help right now? Don't just wait until Thanksgiving and Christmas. Together, you can change someone's life. Then you will have earned the right to tell them about a Savior that changed your life for all eternity. In every church I have served, the one experience every year that had the most profound impact on my life and the lives of those I ministered with was a mission trip. To hear men, women, boys, and girls talk about how God used them to make a difference in someone's life was life-changing. Yet, when we were home, it was hard to get someone to go across the street to mow the yard for an elderly widow. Does that not just break your heart? It is so easy to drive down our street, pull into our driveway, and close the garage door behind our car, shutting out the world. As I write this, I'm convicted of my own busy, selfish life that secludes me from the world that hurts right outside my door. I can see it in the faces of the waitress at the restaurant, the owner of the dry cleaner's business, and the checker at the grocery store. They all have names and stories and desperately need a Savior. I could have said something, but didn't. If I had just taken the time, who knows how this paragraph would have been different? Let's face it, there is more need than any of us have the time to meet, but our classes can at least do something. If your class will join my class, together we can get it done. What if we could get in the habit of regularly focusing our efforts, our attention, and our money on something other than ourselves? Don't ask for money from the church to do a project. Don't wait for the pastor to assign your class a ministry. Take it upon yourselves and decide what you can and will do together, and do it. Not only is personal involvement a key to a community-focused Sunday school class or small group, but so is cooperation with other local churches, associations, Christian organizations, and denominations. For example, this resource is paid for and provided by the Louisiana Baptist Convention. I am a state missionary. My salary and ministry funding comes from the cooperative program gifts given by cooperating Louisiana Baptist churches. My friend Bob Mayfield, who works at the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, introduced me to the terminology of a missional Sunday school. Most of us tend to attempt to accomplish things in our world as a church. Bob helped me to first realize that each Sunday school class could be a Great Commission Sunday school class. We all must believe that a class or small group could accomplish great things for God. Imagine the potential your class has. Imagine the resources, giftedness, uniqueness, and passions of those in your class and how that can be honed and directed at needs in your community, state, country, and world. Enlist someone in your class to be a project coordinator and plan something to impact your community. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Just do something. It doesn't have to be everyone in your class. Take the ones who are willing and start with them. Just go and make a difference together. But go with the attitude that you're expecting nothing in return. When they ask why you're doing what you do, simply point them to the love of Jesus. Do it with no strings attached. Loving people requires that we love them unconditionally, giving all we have and expecting nothing in return.